for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 29th, 1994. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the morning.
Praise God. Can you hear? Is it working? Can you hear it, Mary? Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's stand. May the Lord bless as we go into His Word today. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. And we thank You, Lord, that we can come to a campground and hear truth that we've heard this week. We bless Your wonderful name. And we ask the Holy Spirit to give traveling mercies to those that are traveling. Lord, either coming or going the rest of the week. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the word that You've given us for today. Open our hearts to receive it. And thank You for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, and we all said amen. Praise God. Turn to Psalm 73, if you will, please. How many know that we're dealing with a beast? How many know there's a beast at the feast and a liar for the fire? And there's a beast in all of us that we have to deal with. We want to look at everybody else, but we need to look at ourselves and look at that what's in us. Now, the Lord's in us too. But you know, in the Song of Solomon, that little maid saw two things. She said, I'm black, but also comely. She saw the old nature, but she also saw the new nature. I mean, no, there's two natures in us today. Praise God. And here in Psalm 73, David said something in verse 22. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I mean, no, that's spiritual darkness. I was as a beast before thee. Now, here's David, who wrote many of the Psalms, and yet he's saying, I'm a beast. How many's ever seen that beast in yourself? Praise God. How many know when you get a revelation of yourself, you've got a real revelation? Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up by my right hand. Now, even though we can see that old nature and that beast nature, we still got to go before God, don't we? Amen. And God's got a work in us. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You know, today, you ever notice the kids, there's so much emphasis on animals today. You know, Barney and what other kind we got going out there? Ninja Turtles. We got all kind of stuff. The T-shirts. People's got all kind of things on there about the beast. Well, how many know that there's a reason for that? We're living in a time of the beast. Amen? How many believe that? Now, first of all, I'm showing us there's a beast in us. And then I'm going to show there's a beast out there in that world. How many believe there's a beast? Everybody sees it out there, don't we? How many believe that our government is beastly? Huh? How many believe politics is beastly? How many believe the people even in this land are beastly? And every land, far as that goes. The laws of our land, a lot of them are beastly. Isn't that right? It's Antichrist, the school system. Come on. They took God out. What's in the schools now? It's the beast. It's Antichrist, a lot. Not every place, but many places. Amen? That's what we're going to deal with. That's exactly right. Amen. But let me ask you another question. Do you see the beast in the church? Huh? Yeah. Certainly. We got to see it in ourselves. Amen? Amen. So, praise the Lord. We're not pointing fingers at anybody except ourselves, first of all. The court system. We see the beast system. Amen. The carnal mind. That's how many know it's beastly. Just think about the church. You know, there's a lot. Look at the people who deny the virgin birth of Jesus. Is that beastly? Sure it is. What about the blood of Jesus? That's beastly. What about the Holy Spirit? Tongues are not for today, some say. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. That's beastly. Amen. It's a lie, isn't it? It's a lie. Turn to Acts 28. Look at a scripture here. Paul is dealing with a natural situation here in Acts 28. Acts 28, he comes from the ship. The ship was broken up, torn up, and all escaped because the angel Lord had told them they would escape if they would do what Paul told them. All right, and of course, Paul had to obey the angel. And how many know we obey God? God can keep us and protect us. Thank God for if we can hear the voice of God, we can be protected if we do what God says. Now, in chapter 28, verse 1, when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melito. The word Melito means honey. So it's a sweet place, we think. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire, received us everyone because of the present rain. Now, that was a natural rain. But how many thank God for the spiritual rain? That's what we need too, don't we? There's a natural rain, but there's also the spiritual rain. But this was a natural rain. And because of the cold, that was a natural cold outside, just like we feel it here when it gets cold. But how many know Jesus said, pray your flight be not in the winter? And the biggest thing is we better not let coldness come into us. Come on, stay a hot Christian. Can you say amen? Yeah. Verse 3, when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, these were natural sticks. Just like you'd go out and get some sticks and make a fire. These were natural little sticks just to put together and make a fire. And so he said he's gathering a bundle of sticks. And notice Paul's doing this. Who's Paul? He's an apostle. An apostle gathering sticks. I've gathered a few up. And laid them on the fire. So here's an apostle putting sticks on the fire. Natural sticks on a natural fire. But how many know there are apostolic ministers that will put you in the fire? How many know that wood speaks of humanity? If you know the tabernacle, when you study the tabernacle, you see that wood was covered with what? Gold. Are you hearing me? But this was a natural setting, natural sticks on a natural fire by a natural man, by a man, rather. And yet on the other side of it, the spiritual side of it, apostolic ministers, or the hand ministries, will put people in the fire as well. Hallelujah. How many's ever been put in the fire by ministry? They'll do it because they walk in the fire too. And notice what happened when the sticks were put on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat, out of the natural fire itself. Well, now, when we get in the fire, what usually comes out? That viper, when the fire touches your flesh, we start screaming. My flesh, we start screaming. And notice what it did. It fastened on to Paul's hand. Come on, what's the hand to us spiritually? Apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, evangelists. Now, that was his natural hand. And notice he didn't just bite him. What did he do? He fastened to that hand. There's a viper that wants to destroy the ministry. And it's beastly. Who can hear that this morning? And when the people saw this venomous beast, this natural beast, hang on to Paul's hand, notice what they said among themselves. No doubt this man is a murderer. And when you get in the fire, how many know not everybody has a good report for you? You're out of the will of God. You've missed God. You know, it's your own fault. Come on. Hallelujah. And they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer. He's killed somebody. Now he's going to die. Whom though he have escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers him not to live. Hallelujah. How many know that was beastly talk? Now look at the next verse. But notice what this apostle did. He shook off that beast into the fire and felt no harm. How many know that was a gift of faith, really? Now, when you get put in the fire by ministry and that viper comes out, what are we going to do? We're going to pet him? No, we got to put him back in the fire where he belongs. Are you hearing me? How many know when Jesus comes, he's going to destroy that man of sin with flaming fire? How many believe that? Now, he felt no harm. Now look at verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they did something. They changed their minds. Hallelujah. How many believe Jesus can change some minds? They changed their minds. And what else to say? And said that he was a God. Amen. Now, there where it says Paul shook off that beast into the fire, I mean, no, Jesus said when you go into places that they don't receive you, shake the dust off of your feet. Remember that scripture? That's the same word. And how many know the dust is the serpent's meat this morning? He feeds on dust. There's a lot of things I could go into. I'm just trying to show you a few things. Okay, let's go back now to some other things here. Go back to Psalm 73 a minute. Let's go back there. You got a lot of ground to cover in a short time. But I see the old man, the old self. I see Adam's nature, carnal mind, unrenewed self, the dust man. We can call a lot of things. Powers of darkness. How many know they're beasts too? And they feed on that old man, don't they? Now, here's where I think people make mistake. They say Satan is just the carnal mind. Listen, Satan is a fallen angel. Now, we know there's that old nature in us. And how many know that old nature yields to the enemy? And we know that that old nature is Antichrist. But I want to tell you, Satan is also a separate being. Can you hear that? Amen. Because I know some people say, well, the only devil there is the carnal nature. Well, yeah, it's Antichrist. But I want to tell you, there is a real devil. There are people who don't believe in devil today. There's people who don't believe there's hell today. But I want to tell you, there's hell. There's the lake of fire. Come on, there's the bottomless pit. There was Tartarus where the fallen angels went. There's a lot of things. There's paradise, too. Thank God, there's heaven. Amen? And so we want to look at some things. Okay. Now, with that in mind, David said he was a beast. Now, turn to 2nd. Hold your place. Just keep your place here. And look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to go slow here today, because I have a tendency to just run fast. I mean, I see things and I just blurt them out fast, but I don't want to do that today. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Hallelujah. I believe it is. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Let's go back to verse 10. Them that walk after the what? Flesh. Notice, in the lust of uncleanness, they despise government. They despise authority. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Next verse. But these as natural brute beasts. Everybody see that? Made to be taken, destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in what? Their own corruption. My margin says these natural brutes are unreasoning animals. Now, isn't it strange? Come on down to verse 19. Verse 19. Look at the same people he's talking to here. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants or slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is what? Overcome of the same is he brought into bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions or the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter and is worse with them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again. The sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. Listen, we're talking about people in this chapter that have known the Lord. And they have become natural brutes. Beasts. Brute beasts. And some of the worst beasts there are today are people who have known Jesus and turned from Jesus. And I want to tell you, we're living in a time, there's going to be two things. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but there's also an apostasy here. It's not only here, but it's coming. And I believe it's going to increase just like God's power is going to increase. So I see two things happening at the end of the age. I do believe apostasy is upon the church. You go to most churches. Most churches, many churches are dead. I mean, we should be the most lively people in the earth. Amen? Amen? I believe that. Now look in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. I'm laying some groundwork for the New Testament. We're going over in a little bit. Leviticus 26. Hallelujah. Chapter 26. And the Lord talks about idols. And how many know that brings a 3 and 4 generational curse? Idolatry. And in chapter 26, verse 1, he said, you'll make no idols or graven images or rear up a standing image. We saw these standing images when I went to Scotland over there. Neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths, reverence my sanctuary. Now, where is God's sanctuary today? Right here. We're the sanctuary of God today, aren't we? I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments and do them, God said, I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and so forth. Now, come on down to verse 6. God says in verse 6, and I will give peace in the land. That's in your land. How many thank God for the peace of Jesus Christ today? In us. Okay. He is the Prince of Peace. Notice, I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down. None shall make you afraid. Listen, there are many Christians in America afraid to go out of their house tonight, today. They're fearful leaving their house because somebody's going to kill them or mug them or something. And none shall make you afraid. And here's what he said. Here's deliverance. I will rid evil beasts. And I want you to know what kind they are. They're evil beasts. Out of the land. That's your land and that's my land if we come God's way. Neither shall the sword go through your land. How many know that's war? And how many has ever woke up in the morning and you had war in your land? Come on, right in your soul. And God said, I'll take that sword out of your land. I'll take that warring factor out of you when I rid those evil beasts out of your land, if you'll do what I say. Amen? God said, you'll chase your enemies, and they'll fall before you by the sword. And that's a switch. I mean, I know a lot of people are running from their enemy. But we can chase our enemies, he says here. Now, and they'll fall, verse 8, by the sword. And God said in verse 11, 12, and this is what he's doing today. I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul not abhor you. I'll walk among you. We'll be your God. You'll be my people. God dwells among us today. Hallelujah. He's walking and talking among us. Are you hearing me? But if we turn from God, if you'll come on down to verse 22, God said, I'll walk contrary to you if you walk contrary to me. And he said also, seven times more plagues will come on you. Well, how many know Jesus talked about in the New Testament? That when the demon goes out, he'll return to his house. We let him back in. How many know you're going to have seven more devils coming in? Huh? And then he said in verse 22, I'll send the wild beast among you. Notice, they'll rob you of your children. How many know that includes abortion? And even when they get up so high. How many know a lot of our children are going into alcohol, dope, and everything else today in America? And destroy your cattle, make them few in number. Your highway shall be desolate and so forth. So, there are beasts all around us. But the thing is, we've got to see the one that we deal with. Praise God. Paul fought with the beast at Ephesus over there in 1 Corinthians 15. And that's the beast of powers that's around us too. Now, how many know that the giant was killed? David hit him right in the forehead, right where the mark of the beast is. Hallelujah. Which way did he fall? He fell forward, didn't he? I mean, oh, every devil will bow to the name of Jesus.
When I was boxing, when
yes, sir.
I hit a man and he fell on his face, I could walk in my corner.
Yeah, amen. Now, you remember Uzziah in the Old Testament that went in to burn incense and he was a king and yet he was not a priest. He pushed himself into another office and he was not to burn incense. And there were 81 priests went in and threw him out. You remember that? 80, I'm thinking of, 50, the anointing, 30, and maturity. One is people standing for God. They had the anointing, they had maturity, and they stood for God, kicked the man out. But God told me one time three things about that situation, about Uzziah. Number one, God said to me, he said he was responsible. He knew what he was doing. Number two, he was rebellious. And number three, he was religious. Now, where did he go? He went into the holy place to burn incense. Amen? Now, where is our greatest battle today? In our holy place, our mind, will, emotions, and desire. Are you hearing me? Now, he was responsible, that's the head. He was rebellious, that's the heart. And he was religious, he was going to burn incense, that's the hand. Now, there were two Azariahs in that holy place. There was the high priest and Uzziah, but Uzziah's name also means Azariah. There were two in the holy place. One had to go. Who can hear that? I mean, thank God for the heavenly Azariah today, Jesus. One had on the mitre holiness to the Lord. The other one was marked in his forehead beastly with leprosy. Hallelujah. And how many know the holy place is going to be cleaned out? The Pentecostal charismatic full gospel realm is going to be, it is going, God is dealing with people today. Amen. And how many know, either you go right on in with God or you're going to go back in the outer court. Amen. You're not going to stand in a neutral position. Neither am I. Praise the Lord.
Testament.
Hallelujah. The word Antichrist means many things, but how many know it means against and in place of. Against Christ, against the Anointed One, and the enemy wants to replace the real Christ with something else. Now, think of just a minute. How many know when Jesus was going to be crucified, they cried out and said, you know, crucify him and give us somebody. Who was it? Barabbas. Now, first of all, Judas worked against Christ, and we know he did it for so much money. How many was it? 30 pieces of silver? He worked against the Christ behind the scenes, and then Jesus was replaced by Barabbas. Now, there is a spirit of Antichrist that is against Jesus Christ. How many believe that? And that spirit wants to replace Christ with something that's false. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe that. But the word means against and in place of. And that word false Christ means false anointed one. Now, turn over to the scriptures. Let's go to Revelation. I want to tell you three things the beast is. I want to tell you three things that we see in the world the beast is from the scriptures. The beast, number three, there is a spirit, there is a man, and there is a kingdom. Let's say that. A spirit, a man, a kingdom. Let's say it again. A spirit, a man, and a kingdom. Now, look in Revelation 11. Hallelujah. Revelation 11. Look at verse 7. Without going into this teaching, if you want this teaching, this 11th chapter of Revelation, get my tape last time I was here. I taught the whole chapter. I believe there's going to be people lay their life down for God in this end time. In chapter 11, verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony. And notice it's not till they finish. The beast that ascends out of what? Now, what is the bottomless pit? It is the abyss in another scripture. It's also called the deep. It means the infernal or a place of depthlessness. That's what it means. But he says in this verse, the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and come on, kill them. How many know the war is on right now? Now, look in Revelation 13. I'm going to show you the war zone. And if you're not in the war, you just hang around. You'll get into it if you press on into God. Amen? Amen. Chapter 13, verse 5. And there was given unto him, this beast, a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, and power was given him to continue how long, brethren? 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Okay? Then the next verse. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with who? The saints of God. Amen. And to overcome them, power was given him over all kingdoms, tongues, and nations. Look in chapter 12. Chapter 12. We see here, it's the dragon. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now go to Daniel chapter 7. I'm telling you, war is here now. Hallelujah. Daniel 7. But how many know the warrior is in us? The warrior is in us. In Daniel 7, we're talking about the beast coming in the earth. Look at verse 18. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now, we can shout over that, can we? All right, come down to verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn. Now, how many know Alexander's kingdom was broken up into four parts? Huh? Syria, Turkey, Egypt, and what was the other? Greece. And so he said, I beheld this horn made war with the saints and did something. Now, John said, overcome them. Daniel said, prevail against them. But look at the first word of verse 22. What is it? Until. Now, he prevailed or literally overcome until. How many thank God for the untils in the Bible? That's a period of time. He prevailed until the Ancient of Days came. And I look at that as Christ coming in us. How many know we'll never overcome unless Christ comes in you and me? Isn't that right, brother? Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment, this is what Revelation 20 also says, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints did something. Oh, hallelujah. Possess the kingdom, but not without war. And I believe that. I believe that. Now, notice that. I want to go back now. I want you to see that again. Praise God. In verse 21 again, he said, this little horn, this Antichrist system made war with the saints of God, prevailed against them till the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that those same saints who had been warred against, fought against, possessed the kingdom. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now look in chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Daniel. Look in verse 9. He's talking about the little horn here again. Out of one of those little horns. Out of one of them came forth a little horn. In verse 9. Notice it waxed great, exceedingly great towards the south, the east, and towards the pleasant land. It waxed great even to the host of heaven. Now this is Revelation 12:4 if you want to look it up sometime. I mean, on Revelation 12:4, the stars are falling from heaven. And God said to me years ago, he spoke to me, he said, the stars are falling. And he almost spoke to me, gave me the scripture, the word of the Lord with it to show me that it was true. And how many know we've seen some stars falling? We're going to see some more falling. But we better pray that we don't fall. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so he says here, it cast some of these stars or this host of the stars to the ground. And what did it do? It stamped upon them. Okay? Then you'll notice the sanctuary is cast down in verse 11. And then in verse 12, it cast down truth to the ground. So you have stars falling, you have the sanctuary being cast down, you have truth being cast down, and then in verse 13, the latter part, he said also the sanctuary and the host will be trodden underfoot. And if you've got a marginal reference, it'll take you to Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. And that's the outer court Christians going to die. A lot of them. Look in Revelation chapter 11. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. How many know God wants us to push on in? You know, we can be in the holy place and yet have an attitude of the out of court. You know, our thoughts can be out of court, isn't that right? In our lifestyle. But in chapter 11, let's just look at verse two verses. I don't want to get in the whole chapter again. But I know how I see it and how God's given it to me over the years. But in verse 1 and 2, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And later John said it's a golden reed or rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Now, this is not a building, a natural building. How many know we are the temple of God? I believe that with all my heart. And I believe Brother Moore touched on that, and I appreciated that. But he said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, that place of worship, and them that are worshiping therein. So those that are worshiping here at this time of the outbreak of the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years of tribulation, they are worshiping, they are measured, and we've got to come up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. We know we can only do that through the hand ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, evangelists. Now, then in verse 2, he said something else, though. Somebody's not measuring verse 2. He said, the court that's without the temple, leave it out. Measure it not. So this verse 2, somebody's not measured. Verse 1, somebody is measured. How many want to become a worshiper today? I don't mean just on Sunday morning, but I mean wherever you are, you can be a worshiper. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people worship in vain. A lot of people worship ignorantly. Then there's will worship where you got to have the cheerleader. Let's stand, let's sit down, let's turn to page 22, let's do this, let's do that. And then you have those who worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 2. The court that's without the temple, leave it out and measure not. It's given to the Gentiles, the heathen. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot how long? 42 months. That has not yet happened. It has not happened. It will happen. Praise God. And the city, I'm not looking at natural Jerusalem. I'm looking at a people. How many know we're the city of God today? Okay. Praise God. But at that same time, God's going to give power to his two witnesses. And these two witnesses, it is the word and the spirit in a people. I know an apostle, he had an experience with this. The devil came up behind him, turned his paper, his pages in his Bible, and came right to Revelation 11. The devil said, "You're one of them." He rebuked the enemy, and he asked God who they were, and the Lord didn't tell him for 5 years. And the Spirit came and said, "You still want to know?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "It's the Word and the Spirit in a people." And you can see that in Zechariah chapter 4. Hallelujah. The Word and the Spirit within a people. But God said, "At that same time, I'm going to give power unto my two martyrs, and they shall prophesy." How many believe the prophetic word is coming back into the church? Oh, yes, it is. God's going to move prophetically. Hallelujah. In a powerful way. I believe with all my heart. All right. So we see something here. Now, we see that, I said three things. I'll go. That the Antichrist, there is a spirit, there is a man, there is a kingdom. Now, let's bring to the positive side. How many know that the man is Jesus on the positive scale? Huh? Is he the man? One man between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, right? Two, how many know that he has a kingdom or a body? But how is this body being put together? By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. He is the man that we look to, our Savior. And this kingdom is this body he's putting together, as you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit. On the other side of the scale, there is a man in the world that will come. I believe that, and I teach that. Also, the Spirit is Antichrist spirit, and he has a kingdom. Now, look at this kingdom. Look at Revelation 16. Although I don't talk a lot on the natural setting out there in the world, but I believe it's still coming. Hallelujah. I mean, if you read Daniel, you've got to see it. Daniel chapter 16, verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat. And I know you can go to 2 Thessalonians also. He's sitting in the temple. Of course, that's in this temple as well. But it's poured out upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was what? Full of darkness. I want you to know what's in the Antichrist's kingdom. It's darkness. Notice, his kingdom was full of darkness. His kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Praise God. All right, turn to Daniel. Turn to Daniel 7. I know the man, it can be it's a natural man, but I also believe it's a corporate man as well. But in Daniel 7, Daniel 7, 11, 7, 11. I remember that number one time. And he said, "I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." His body. Now, again, I believe it's a corporate body, but there's always a head to the corporate body, I believe. Praise God. Okay? His body given to the flame. Hallelujah. Now go to Revelation 17. We see this corporate body of Antichrist. And you'll notice in 17, we see there is a woman, a harlot, riding the beast, which means she's in control or charge. There's a political system arising. There's a religious system arising. If the devil can't get you in the political system, he certainly wants you in the political and the religious system. Hallelujah. I think Christians are too involved in politics themselves. I mean, we have the right and privilege to vote and whatever we got to do, but I think, listen, Jesus has got to be first before politics. Chapter 17, verse 1. But I think we should be informed and know what's going on. I'm not saying that. But chapter 17, verse 1. "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, talked with me, saying to me, 'Come hither,'" or literally, "come closer." He's in the Spirit. Chapter 4, he was caught up. Now he's saying, "Come hither, come closer. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." And notice where she's sitting. Come on, help me. Many waters. Now look at verse 15. It tells, explains it, what it is. Verse 15. It says, and he said to me, "The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are." Now, here is the corporate body, okay? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and what else? Tongues. All right, now, go back to, look in 17. Now, look in verse 3 now. Look in verse 3. He says something else in verse 3. "So he carried me away in the Spirit to the wilderness." I mean, oh, God may take you into the wilderness to show you this harlot. Huh? "And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." Notice, she's on the beast. "Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." So we've seen that this woman is up on many waters, And she's on the beach, okay? Which means she's in control. I mean, just think of Jezebel and Ahab. I mean, no, that's really what's happening at the end of the age here. We see this. I mean, no, she controlled the kingdom during Ahab's time. Amen? Now, look at another verse in the same chapter. Look in verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that what? Great city which reigneth over something. Kings of the earth. How many's ever studied on the great city throughout the book of Revelation? Talk so much about Babylon. Look in chapter 16. We see this great city. And it's worldwide. How many know Babylon's worldwide? It's not just in one locale. It's in Hot Springs, but it's also in Tulsa. Come on, it's around the world. In chapter 16, let me find the verse here. Okay, verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts. And I see Babylon as economically, politically, and religiously. But it's divided in three parts. And notice the cities of the nations fell. Notice the nations, okay? So Babylon's worldwide. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, when's this going to happen? Look back in chapter 14. Back in chapter 14. Hallelujah. God seals 144,000. And by the way, the Greek says, it didn't say thousands, it says thousands. And I believe this is a symbolical number, but nevertheless, it's the overcomers of God at the end of the age. And verse 8 says, there, after God had sealed those 144,000, and by the way, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made, look at this, all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So Babylon is worldwide, there's no doubt about it. So we see a lot of things connected there with the beast. Now, look back in chapter 13. We see that the beast comes up out of the sea. What's the sea? The sea represents humanity. People. Multitudes. And so it says, there stood upon the sand of the sea. And he said, John said, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. You go back to Daniel, that was a Grecian empire. Hallelujah. His feet like the feet of a what? Bear. That was Medo-Persia. And then notice his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That was Babylon. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. But let me show you something about that seat. Now turn to Revelation. We got to see it in the spiritual way too. Okay? Hallelujah. Revelation, was it 2? I think it's 2 or 3. I don't know. We'll find it. 2. Look at verse 13. And I'm not going into the history of things, but anyway, I'm looking to see where he's at today, too. How many know these churches also refer to us today, too? The things you see in these seven churches are here today in the church, too. We can go back to the past, and that's fine. I like to do that. But look at verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. His throne, that thou holdest fast my name, has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, he was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. So right among the church, Satan's seat was there. Well, let me tell you, it's still there today. Look in 2 Thessalonians 2. Hallelujah. And how are people deceived today? I'll tell you by three ways, spirit, word, and letter. I went into this extensively in another teaching recently in some place and dealt with those three things. Some in Nehemiah. How many know there were those really actually saying that Christ had already come in Paul's time? And Paul is saying, he's saying here in verse 3, let no man deceive you. You can be deceived by a spirit. That's a wrong spirit. By word, even that which can be preached or taught can be wrong. How many know there's a satanic logos? A satanic word. All right, it sounds good, but it may be wrong. And then there's something else. There's a letter. You ever get letters in the mail that you throw in the trash can pretty quick? Or articles that are not from God? Sure. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that's not the rapture like some are teaching. That is the apostasy. The apostasy. And I believe it's a time, there is a time for the apostasy. Hallelujah. I believe we already see it. I believe it's coming yet. And yet I believe an outpouring of the Holy Ghost is coming. Nations are going to come to God. But yet I see Christians falling from God. And that man of sin be what? Revealed. There's a revelation. It's going to be a revelation of this son of perdition. Judas was called the son of perdition. And yet that son of perdition was among the 12, wasn't he? He was one of the 12, excuse me. And I tell you, the son of perdition is among the church. Amen? Verse 4, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that's called God. Well, I know the carnal mind. That is the carnal mind. Romans 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you can see that. And I want to tell you, that mind of ours, that carnal mind, is enmity against God. It opposes God. It's antichrist. That's why God says, get your mind saved. Get your mind renewed. Amen? Yeah. It is a beast. Who opposeth and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. And we know that's in the church. That's here today. Hallelujah. And there is self on the throne who wants to be God. But how many know Jesus must be Lord of our temple? Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Now, Antichrist, I see Antichrist as a liar. The Bible says so. He is a deceiver. He is beastly. He brings wrong doctrine. He's a seducer. And we know he brings in the spirit of the world and many other things. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. As Brother Moore said last night, this is the book where you see the word Antichrist, 1 John chapter 2. And then I'm going to give seven ways how to overcome the man of sin. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, look down to verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. Now, how long ago was that said? Not 2,000 years ago. Well, if it's the last time then, how many know we're living in the last times, possibly? But God has all the time in his hand, doesn't he? As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Notice, Antichrist singular shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. We've had many come on the scene and leave the scene. We have many on the scene today. And there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. He said that was a sign, but how much more should we know it today? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have something in the midst of this Antichrist system. You have an unction or an anointing, come on, from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now look down to verse 26 and 27. He said, these things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you. That Antichrist spirit wants to bring in seduction. And in verse 27, he said, the anointing that you received of him, he abides in you. You need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, you know, we hear today, well, when a man speaks, you just get 20% or whatever he says. But if you're in the Spirit, you'll get 120% because you'll hear things I'm not saying or anybody else is not saying if they're up here. If you're listening to the Holy Ghost, if you're open to the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. I mean, he is the teacher. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying it's that anointing that will keep you from being seduced. I mean, we need a lot more of the anointing of God in our life. That anointing will protect you and keep you from that Antichrist spirit, from being seduced by it. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying there. Praise you, Jesus. Look in chapter 4. Beloved, are we in the Beloved today? Certainly. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of spirits that can deceive us if we're not walking with God correctly. You know, I was in a meeting one time and I heard this lady prophesy. And how many believe in the prophetic word? I think we all do. And everything she prophesied, you couldn't counteract the word, what she said, but you knew the spirit behind it was not the Holy Spirit. How many have ever been in a meeting like that? See, the word sounded good. It sounded like it was scripturally, but yet you knew it was not right. How many know God puts a witness in here? Amen? It's not here, it's in here. Praise the Lord. And I think we've been too gullible, myself. There are ways that we need to judge the prophetic word. Amen? Whether it's to us individually or corporately. And he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, because there's going to be some spirits among the people of God that are not of God. But what are we going to do? We're to test, try, to see if they be of God. Amen? And we need to know how to do that. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because what? Many false prophets have gone out into the... What is the world? Lust the eye? Lust the flesh? Pride of life. False prophet links up with the world. He is fleshly. Maybe at one time he walked in the spirit and was a true prophet. And how many know that false prophets have large followings? And I'll tell you what they want. They want to get out of you everything they can the wrong way. And they do it. And it's because we've allowed it to happen. Can you say amen? Now look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, notice, not just has or shall, but is. Present tense. Is come in the flesh, is of God. Do you know there are people who don't believe that Jesus has to come in you today? Even though you're saved. I believe Christ must come in us today before he comes in the air out there. Look down to verse 4. You're of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that's where? Where is he? In you than he that's in the world. He's coming in you. Hallelujah. Christ must come in us before he comes out there in the air. So, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But I ain't going to sit down. I'm going to keep crying out for God, Jesus to come in me. Hallelujah. Come in me, Lord. I'm going to cry out for him to come in me and do a work in my life. How about you? And so, what I'm saying is, those who don't believe Christ must come in you, that is Antichrist. Hear that? Is come in the flesh. That's in your flesh. That's in mine. Verse 6. We are of God. We know God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now look at 2 John. Look in 2 John. So we see that the enemy comes to seduce. He comes to deceive by the false prophets with the spirit of the world. And how many know the world's going to hear those false prophets? And if the world's in us, how many know we're going to open up to them too? God wants to purge us of the spirit of the world. Amen? Now, look in 2 John chapter, verse 7. Many deceivers are entered where? Same thing as what chapter 4 said. Into the world. And they're deceivers. Who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. That's what John said there in chapter 4. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Notice, a deceiver, antichrist. Who confess that Jesus has not come in the flesh. And that's in your flesh. Now, look down. Look down now to verses 9. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not where? This house first, as well as your natural home. Neither bid him God speed. He that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. So, Antichrist brings in wrong doctrine. He is a deceiver and so forth. Praise God. Then we go to... No, I guess that's far enough with that. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look at some ways how to overcome the spirit of Antichrist. How many know you always saw the Antichrist nature before the Christ nature? You saw Cain before who? Abel. Nimrod before Abraham. Esau before Jacob. Ishmael before Isaac. Eli before Samuel. Saul before David. Saul before Paul. The harlot church. The harlot church before the true church. Antichrist before the man-child. The raven before the dove. You can go on and on. But I want to show you ways to overcome. Now look in Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Hallelujah. Verse 1. How many know God wants us to worship the Lord? Praise the Lord. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And yet God has not called us unto wrath, has he? But he never said you wouldn't have tribulation. Verse 2. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory, the word victory is the word for overcomer, the one who conquers or prevails. And notice he got victory over this beast, which means they were living in the time of the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. Now, not only do I see that in us, but I see it in the world as well. standing on a sea of glass, having the very harps of God. Hallelujah. The harps of God. And they did something. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And his ways are judgment, Daniel says. Now, look at verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now, not only is there people going to overcome this Antichrist spirit, but also God is going to begin to bring nations before him to worship him. Hallelujah. And how many know when his judgments are in the earth, the world shall learn of righteousness, it says. Anybody hearing that today? All right, number two. The second thing is, second scripture I want to give you is Revelation 14. Some will overcome by laying down their physical life in this end time. Revelation 14 and verse 10. Excuse me, let's go back to verse 9. Verse 9, please. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Now notice, worship the beast. Now hold your place right there. Hold your place right there. Hallelujah. And look in chapter 20. Glory. Somebody's not going to do it. Look in Revelation 20. Look at verse 4. And these are overcomers here, if you don't know who they are. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worship the beast. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. How long, brethren? 1,000 years. How many know without suffering there's no reigning? I said without suffering you will not reign. I will not reign. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. On such the second death, which is the lake of fire, hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, glory, 1,000 years. Praise God. So, what am I saying? In Revelation 14, go back there. If any man worship the beast, and Revelation 20 said that overcoming group would not worship the beast system. Back in chapter 14:9. If any man worship the beast, his image, and receive his mark in the forehead or in the hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And I believe that. And they have no rest there or not who worship the beast, his image, and whosoever receives his mark in his name, of his name. Here is something now. Verse 12. Here is the patience, or the endurance, or the persistence of the saints. Of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. And what else? The faith of Jesus. They have patience, and with patience there's hope. They have the love of God. They're keeping his commandments, and they have his faith, the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed. Seven blessings in Revelation. Here's one right here. Blessed are the dead which die where? Where are they going to die? Well, not everybody dies in the Lord. Well, there's two kinds, isn't there? There's a spiritual death and there's a natural death. Hallelujah. I heard a voice saying, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. But do we know Christians who die in the Lord? Physically? Sure. If I die, I want to die in the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, I know there's a spiritual death every day. We know that. But also there are people who lay down their physical life. Praise God. And they die in the Lord. Notice, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and what? Their works do? Follow them. And then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud the Son of Man, coming with a sharp sickle to reap. I believe they lay their physical life down. That's what I teach. Although we do lay our life down daily. Praise God. There are people going to lay their physical life down for the Lord. And they've got to have patience. They've got to have the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We can't do it in our strength, can we? No. Hallelujah. All right. No, go to another scripture. Go to, we saw several. Let me show you several scriptures now. God's marking his people. Look in Revelation 14. Verse 1. We see here in verse 1, and how many know if we get the mark of God, we don't have to worry about the other if we stay true to God. But we got to stay true to God. Chapter 14, verse 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. That's the mind of Christ. And that's what we need in it, brother. We need his mind. Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 9. Turn there with me, and I'll show you this in Ezekiel 9. Just one scripture in the Old Testament. We'll come back to the New. God is marking his people. Hallelujah. Let me ask. We need to see the word in a spiritual way most of the time. But does that deal with natural meanings? No. See, there's a natural meaning, there's a spiritual meaning, there's a fullness. The scriptures. And thank God for all three of them. But here in Ezekiel chapter 9, without going into the whole detail, look in verse 4. God's calling for one to mark the people here in verse 3. In verse 4, the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem today would be the church, you and I. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, that cry, and these are, of course, intercessors, for all what? The abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And then after their mark, he said, go to the others, he said, in mine hearing, go after him. Through the city, smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. And of course, God says, begin at my sanctuary, and that's the church. So God is sealing his people today. Now, turn over to Revelation 7. I know there are those who say, well, 7 is the natural Jew and 14 is the spiritual Jew, but I see 7 and 14 the same people. That's the way I teach it, and that's the way I believe it, but I'm not trying to be dogmatic. Chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. We see the sealing takes place here in chapter 7 of Revelation. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And I see the four corners, not only the natural earth, but there is four corners, but I also see it as man's mind, will, emotions, and desires. And I see these angels, he said, John said, standing on the four corners of the natural earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I can see the earth as a corner around, the sea as humanity and tree. We're trees of righteousness too. And yet there's natural trees out there, isn't that right? And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Notice this angel, this messenger is coming from the east. And the east is where the sun comes up and he's bringing light. Having the seal of the living God. I want you to notice that. This angel is bringing the seal of God. And notice, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea till... nor the trees till we, and that little word we is a ministry in the earth today that God's using to seal his people. Till we have sealed the servants. Oh, how many wants to be a servant of our God? Where? In their foreheads. Look in chapter 9. Look in chapter 9. The pit is open. The bottomless pit is open. The locusts coming up on the earth. Picture of demons. Picture of war. A lot of things in this chapter. But look down to verse 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. There's protection with the seal of God. Thank God for God's protection. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 4. It says, and they shall see his face, which is an intimacy, a union, a communion with God. And his name or nature shall be in their foreheads. God is giving his mind to us. How many thank God for that? How many want your soul to be saved? Delivered, whatever terminology. And I believe all these things. Listen, I believe there's got to be a restoration of the soul. We've got to call the soul back. We've got to break soul ties. All these things we've been hearing this week. It is scriptural. It is right. So don't be afraid of the teaching. I want to tell you, it is right on. But our soul has to be also renewed daily by the Word of God. Can you say amen? But our soul has went into so many things. And you've got to call those parts back that you've lost. I want to tell you something. If we can't think the way we used to think, then something's wrong. Amen? If we can't remember the way we used to think, something's wrong. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying we need to go to war and fight for our souls. Can you say amen? You see, there is a rest given to you by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. It didn't cost anything. But how many know there's a rest that's got to be found? How's that rest found? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Then you'll find rest for your souls. We've got to be yoked up with the Lord just like he was yoked with the Father. Isn't that right? And I could teach a lot on that yoke. And yet he wants to bring us into that rest for our mind, our wills, our emotions, and our desires. And you can't get there without deliverance. I said you can't get there without deliverance. Praise God. I don't care who we are, preachers or who. In fact, preachers need more deliverance than anybody else. We'll be honest. And I've got a lot in my life, and I need a lot more. Praise God. And I'm not ashamed to get in the chair first. I've done it before. You did it yesterday. We need to get help. And I thank God for Lake Hamilton. I came here, and I was needing help. And they helped me. Praise the Lord. The Lord helped me through them. And I praise God for this place and for deliverance camps and places, churches where people get help. I believe in deliverance. Man, I believe in it. Tell me deliverance isn't real. I've experienced it in my own life. I know it works. And I want to tell you something. You'll not be a son without deliverance. You'll not be a son without deliverance. No way. Praise God. But with it, we can get the junk out and Jesus will come in. Amen? Look in Revelation 3:12. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. And then I'm going to say two other things in closing. I got so much I could say. Revelation Chapter 3, and I don't say that boastfully, I say it in the Lord. 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. We know we're the temple. God's raising up the overcomers to be the pillar to hold up that great building. Amen? Notice, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him, the overcomer, the name or the nature of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new nature, my new name. I did a study on that recently, but I won't go into it today about the new name. Turn to Matthew 25, and I'm closing. Hallelujah. Jesus. One morning, the Lord woke me up and said these words to me. As I woke up, I heard the Lord in these words about the enemy coming to when the woman was delivered. Came to devour her child as soon as it was born. And that birthing is in the soul. We've been saved in our spirits. How many know now we're getting our souls saved? And that's where the battleground is. That's where the battle is. But here in Matthew 25, Jesus said there's two kind of ministry at the end of the age. There's a wise and a foolish ministry. Or people, however you want to say it. And verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I teach we're in the wedding feast now. That intimacy with God is now. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, what's he going to do? He's going to come in and what? Sup with him and he with us. That is going on now. It's not something in the future. But he said, go out to meet the bridegroom. That's what was said here. And the five of them were wise, five were foolish. The word foolish means blockheads. But how many know we are blockheads if we don't stay filled with the Holy Ghost? They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, they had oil in their lamps, but they didn't take the extra supply in the vessel. The vessel's the soul. The lamp's the spirit. Did you hear what I said? The lamp is your spirit. The vessel's your soul, spiritually speaking. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had oil in their, we would say today, in our spirit, and they also took extra supply. Or Christ had overshadowed and done a work even in their mind, will, emotions, and desires, or in their soul. While the bridegroom tarried, they all did something. They all slumbered, slept. And verse 6, and at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, and midnight is coming, there was a cry made. A cry made. How many know the Holy Ghost is waking some of us up? The cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Command, go you out to meet the bridegroom. Then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The margin says, are going out. They were leaking vessels. They thought they could make it through the midnight hour without the extra supply of oil. Now, there's a lot of Christians saved in their heart. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of us got the same old head we had before we got saved. And he wants to change that. Our thinking. It's our stinking thinking that gets us in trouble. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is God must overshadow our souls for midnight. Because midnight, as sure as I'm standing here, midnight's coming. We don't have to fear midnight. But we need the fear of not getting filled with God. Amen? He wants to pour the oil into your spirit, but also he wants to overshadow your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires, so that you will be prepared at midnight. In your patience possess ye your souls. Listen, when midnight comes, I see all kind of things breaking out in the earth. But I tell you, with Christ, how many know he can keep us, he can preserve us, and we don't have to fear anybody or anything if we have his mind. I believe that. But we've got to have his mind. Just saying it's not enough. Amen? How many know this is the first we overcome? We overcome this guy. You don't have to worry so much about out there, but you got to overcome this guy first. This is the guy that you've got to overcome by the help of the Lord. We certainly can't do it in our flesh and our strength. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thy word truly, Lord, is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And we know that, God, you have a people in this end time. You're raising up as overcomers. And, God, you're sealing us as we submit to you, Lord. We do not boast or brag that we are any kind of special anybody, Lord, but you're everything, Lord. And we trust in you to help us, to guide us, to lead us. Lord, set us free in those areas where we're lacking and hurting. Lord, that we might truly be the overcomers you've destined and designed us to be. Forgive us for every sin, Lord. Forgive us for every wicked thing, God, that's in us, that's antichrist, Father. And help us, Lord. Help us not just only to see that beast nature, but help us, Lord, to overcome by the blood of the cross and by the name of Jesus. Strengthen us, Lord, today as we go our ways, and bless your people. Encourage them today, Lord, and let them know that Jesus rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of people. And again, Lord, those that are traveling, we pray for traveling mercies for them, and we thank you for them, and we all said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.